Two village idiots with a love-hate relationship.
See, you got fat.
See, you still look like a 15-year-old girl, but not hot.
Who can't stop arguing over Oklahoma sports.
You know what, man? Why am I still talking to you?
Come on, we were doing good there, man.
It's the Just Okay Sports Podcast.
Sooner Nation, Thunder Nation, we are back. This is the Just Okay Sports Podcast. That is Just Oklahoma Sports. We focus on the Oklahoma Sooners and the Thunder basketball team for the most part here, but it's also just an okay podcast. That's why you're here. That's why you love it, is you get to feel better about yourself. We're not insiders. We're not reporters. We have no paywalls. We have no subscriptions, but follow along if you want to hear what we have to say, again, on Sooners and on Thunder. That's what we're all about, and we hope that you enjoy the ride. I'm here with my brother tonight, J-Rod. How are you, sir?
What is up? Dude, I'm doing good. It's been a hectic week, but good. There's been a lot of good news this week, so that's been nice in the sports world, that is. We can talk about it later, but F1 is back this weekend, so I'm mega hyped about that.
Heck yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to this weekend try to go see Dune 2. I actually really like Dune 1,
yes.
So I may try to go see Dune 2.
I hate to tell you this, but I'm going tomorrow with Troy.
Yeah, he could go to Dune 2, but he couldn't
make the pod tonight. Cool. Yeah, no. Couldn't do that. It's but
priorities.
Yeah, priorities. I know. Family. I have family things going on.
Yeah, here. I got a wife and kids. Okay, bro. No, it's been good. Like I said, I was telling, we were talking about a little before the thing, but dealing with the bureaucracy of getting a passport, so that's fun. But that's been good. Like that's been the kind of just like, I feel like anytime you have to deal with like the government, it's just like, you know, you're gonna have a headache.
Oh,
you know,
facts.
Like you go to the DMV or get a passport or whatever. It's like, bro, like they find a way that they're like, it's like a joke. It's a cruel joke of like, not only are we taxing you to pay for this.
Right.
But it's going to be painful. It's going to be a painful experience. So anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah. No. How are things in Okieville? I've heard there's fires.
Yes.
I've heard there's like, it's like snowing one day and then like a heat wave the next.
So literally yesterday, it got to a high, I believe yesterday, of 81.
Mm-hmm.
And so like literal truth here, got home. Took the dog. My middle son Tal and I went on a walk with the youngest Gibson. The wife came along as well. So when we go on walks, me and Tal like run routes and throw the ball to each other. Gibson just kind of runs around with his head cut off. The dog follows along, you know. And the wife's there for when one of us falls down and hurts ourselves, right? And having a great time, wearing short sleeves, doing great. And literally out of nowhere, you hear the wind coming. And it hit and it dropped like 7 degrees as soon as the wind hit, like just boom, just plummeted. So literally our high was 81. By midnight, it was down to like 36 that night. So it dropped like 50 degrees. It's been crazy cold, but the wind was the problem. It's been real dry and a fire started. And I know as of yesterday, it was like 1500 acres with burned. And then the panhandle of Texas is on fire and burning everywhere.
I actually found out, and he actually sent pictures to me in Discord, one of our loyal followers, Mo, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Yeah. He sent me some pictures. I guess there's some really crazy ones out where he's at.
So
he sent me some pictures. Everybody's good. Like, I think he said he'll roast me for getting this wrong. I think it was his in-laws got like, evacuated or something, from their place. But I think he said everything was fine. It was like a cautionary.
Yeah.
Thing, but there's been a lot of fire. So yeah, hopefully everybody's staying safe.
Well, Evan's brother, my wife's brother, is one of the guys that's been fighting it. He's the chief of a small town fire department that got called in to help fight all the fires out there.
Yeah, he sent me pictures of like the water trucks they're bringing out there to where they are, and it's like, dude, it's like military, like giant military trucks and stuff. And I've like seen them before, but there's like, he said like, because he works in like I don't say an industrial park, but like industrial area or whatever.
Right.
So they have like a big parking lot. And so they're using it to like turn around or whatever, do what they need to do. And there's like 20 of them. There's a bunch. So pretty crazy stuff. So like I said, everybody in Oklahoma, stay safe. Yeah. Oklahoma strong. And
well, and then even like, you know, tornado is breaking out in the Midwest area. I mean, yeah, it's just been wild. It's been a wild week of weather.
You know, I was telling, like, I know it's like everywhere, but it's like, I told somebody, I was like, I was describing this to somebody the other day about Oklahoma's like a weird state because it's like, as small as Oklahoma is in this context of like, what is like 4 million, three or 4 million people, mm-hmm. I think.
Four or something.
It's like,
yeah.
And it's like, you would not thinking like 4 million people, you have as many like rivalries within the state, like, you know, like Ardmore hates eight, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like, there's all these little weird pockets of like, oh, we don't like that area, like Oklahoma right. City and Tulsa, whatever. But I was like, dude, like, I just, it's so amazing to me when, I would say it's not like a good thing, but it's like when bad things happen, like when the tornadoes hit more and stuff, mm-hmm. like the amount of people that showed up, like we were there and they were like, look, we have so many people. We're like, literally yeah. having to tell people you have to leave.
It's fact. Like, it's, no, it's that's a fact. Yeah.
It was like, they're like, it's a problem. So many people are trying to help.
Dude. Yeah. Tulsa and Oklahoma City can hate each other. OU and OSU can hate each other, but if something goes down in a really, truly like catastrophic kind of way and help is needed, everyone's coming out. And it's going to be Oklahoma people. I'm sure we've said this on the podcast before. So our dad was a longtime firefighter in Houston and was very respected in nationally on that mm-hmm. level and was a part of a national rescue team. And this is not, you know, something crazy. There's national teams everywhere and they rotate around to when major catastrophes happen, they pull guys together and send them to those locations. They're kind of the, you know, Green Beret, Navy SEAL, whatever you want to call it, of the rescue world for all that stuff. And our dad was sent to Oklahoma City when the bombing happened. Mm-hmm. And when he got sent up, there literally was a wall of Oklahoma City firefighters standing there. And they said, we understand why you're here. We're grateful you're here, but you're not touching nothing. And they were like, we're getting our own people out. And y'all can, you know, be on site and everything else, but we just need y'all to understand, like, we really are genuinely grateful you're here. But I mean, that's the mentality of Oklahoma. And it was the same. Dad even talked about it. Dad had been to other places and said, man, the amount of stuff donated, that the fact that they cut prices, you know, he had been to like hurricane sites and stuff in Florida and New York, and like, they would, you know, raise the prices. They would double the prices for everything. And everything here was just donated, and he could not believe it. And that's one thing Oklahoma does well, man. They care. They care about their community.
The way I describe it is, it's like, it really is like a giant brotherhood where, like, yes. like you said, like, we'll use Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Like, we're bitter rivals, right? Yeah. Or whatever. Like, we get heated, we sling names, and it's like, dude, something goes down and it's like, we got you. Like,
yeah,
you know, so
100%.
But speaking of OSU being upset, that was a weird segue, maybe a little dark.
That was very, very dark. Everybody's like, what happened at OSU?
Yeah, nothing like that. But did you see the game, the men's basketball game? Let's start out with men's basketball. For everybody that's wondering, we threw like a flow together in like 2 minutes.
Let's be honest. There's really not a flow. We just have like little notes of things we don't want to forget to talk about.
I don't even know why we even made it.
We're wasting Troy podcast without Troy. That's what's great. Yeah. So when Troy listens to this, we're doing exactly what he always wants to do.
we're wasting space on Google servers by having whatever this is on it. So, but yeah, the men's basketball game.
Yeah.
Dagger. Absolutely. I had turned on the game, and I think when I was watching, like, it wasn't one of those things, like, it was like I was kind of busy. I don't even remember what I was doing that day, but I just got busy with other things around the house or whatever. And then I remembered, like, I think I got a notification on my phone for like Discord or something, right? And I was like, somebody was talking about the game. I was like, oh, I'll go turn it on. I turned it on with, like, I think it was like a minute 40 left or something, maybe. And I thought we were losing. Like, they inbound the ball, and there was, what, I think 12 seconds left, and he dribbles around, and you're like, I remember I was like watching, I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? I'm like, you know, I just was like screaming at the TV, and he throws the ball up, and you're like, maybe it's like the OU basketball fan in me or something, but I was like, it's gonna brick. Like, this is gonna be an air ball. Like, idiot.
Well, he was only like 1 for 7 from three for the game so far, McCollum was.
Well, and I even thought when he shot it, like, I thought he was out of bounds.
Yes.
Like, I thought his back heel might have been out of bounds. And I was like, oh, boy, you know. So, but anyway, ended up getting the win. Just absolutely heartbreaking. So, like, last Bedlam game.
Yep.
At least as a scheduled rivalry, I think, for at least the foreseeable future. That one's got, like, with basketball, you have more leeway to schedule something like that. But, yeah, what a win. And then, you know, like, I don't know. The men's basketball team is just so weird.
Well, look, everybody says that, but this is where everybody is too myopic, I guess is the right word, micro, whatever you want to call it. But, like, has anybody noticed Kansas's road record? It's awful, right? Like, and they are, without a doubt, one of the top 10 teams in the country. Tonight, OU is playing the number 8 team in the country and held, like, got beat by 13 on the road, but they also held them to 58 points. That's a pretty good defensive performance, even though you got beat like crazy against a top 10 team. I mean, again, the Big 12 is the toughest conference in America. You're going to have nights where you look awful and still win. You're going to have nights where you play lights out and you lose. Like, it's, it is crazy. Now, I will say this. There is definitely some things that we saw from this team in the pre-conference, right? Like, so in the non-conference, that's what I'm trying to say. I can't get my words out. McCollum's got, like, the shot that McCollum made was what he was doing. Not that difficult, but he was creating his own shot and making it in non-conference. And he even did a little bit early in conference play, and then it's just gone away. I mean, he's lost it.
Yeah, it's one of those things. He's just gone a little. I mean, it was like basketball's so streaky.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can just get on a hot streak, and he was for a lot of non-conference, and then, like, he kind of hit the Big 12.
Owe looked unstoppable in non-conference. And now all of a sudden,
there was a stretch. And that's what you have to look at with basketball. And I think that's almost like a thing about college basketball as a whole this season. Like, OU, when they were all hot at the same time, like, OU legitimately could have made a case at that point to be a top 10 team.
Yes.
Right? Like, they were firing on all cylinders, and then that went away, and they don't have the talent to have multiple people not on a hot streak.
Yeah, I would say that, but I would also say this. I think this team is good, but they, like, you have to remember, this is a transfer from a lot of different conferences. They've never played in a conference as deep as the Big 12, and the grind that comes with that and all the different things, you know, the talent level, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I feel like this is growing pains for a team that next year, while I know it's going to be in the SEC, I think it's going to be much better. I don't think that they were prepared for how tough it is in the Big 12. I don't think they were prepared for the grind that it is. They've not played this level of basketball before, and they're still a really good team. It's just a really, really tough conference. This team is hands down better. They just got to take another step forward. And look, let's not forget that I know they play halves. For three-fourths of the North Carolina game, which was a road game, even though it was a neutral site, they played with North Carolina, who is considered one of the top 10 teams in the country, right? And at weeks has been the number one team in the country. They've played Kansas extremely tough in their second game. They've beat Iowa State early in the year. That's the number 8 team in the country right now. I mean, so, like, you go down this list of all the, like, they've beaten some good teams. And if they can figure out how to put it together all the way through, they could be a problem. They're one of those teams that if they could somehow get hot in the Big 12 tournament and get running, watch out, because they've played well enough to beat top 10 teams. They just have not put it on. And again, it's what, 50% transfers that are basically playing right now as starters and main rotational players. So not surprising.
Well, and I think you have to look at it like, I'm going to say this, and then somebody's going to, like, sound clip it, and then, you know, G-Rod said that they're going to go all the way to the Final Four. But you look at this team, and it's kind of like the resemblance. I don't think they are, right? Like, I think the chance of them making the Final Four or something is very, very slim.
Right.
However, it's that team that, like, if they somehow just, like, get that fire back, they get where everybody's firing at the right time in the tournament, they're scrappy enough, they're fun enough, and they are just – they have that attitude about them that, like, you can't ever just – it's been very rare that I felt like you watch this team and you're like, they just got beaten to the ground and gave up.
There's been, like, two games, this year. They've been road games. Kansas was one of them that just beat them into the ground. And I don't remember what the other one was. There was one other game where they just got really dominated. But that's been it, man.
Yeah, they just have most of the season. That's what I'm saying. Most of the season, they've been that kind of – they've been that chippy team, I would say. Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm anxious to see them, you know, what they can do. But, yeah, what that game – regardless of that, it's like, well, you look at that, and for all the naysayers, it's like, I don't even care. Like, I want them to go further. I want them to go into the tournament and do well. But a win like that against your rival, like, you can put that as a pin and be like, this is a good season.
Yeah. Oh, I love that they ended it out on a sweep. What a great thing, for sure. Yeah. And to stay with basketball, then it looked like our women's team was dead to rights. And then tonight, they hit a buzzer beater to beat Texas and win the freaking Big 12 all at the same time. So, at least the regular season title. Yeah. You know, of course, they'll have the tournament stuff. But, dude, I said it a few weeks ago. I'm going to say it again. I know probably most of the guys that listen to this podcast and the few women that do, maybe, like, we don't have a ton of women's basketball fans. I'm just saying it that way. Like, but Jenny Baranchek, dude, I'm telling you right now, this girl is going to be Hall of Fame level coach. Like, she is the real deal. And they better pray that they can lock that contract down for a long time, because she knows what she's doing. And it is incredible what she's done with that team in such a short amount of time.
Let's, like, can I talk about the women's basketball team just overall and pull up their stats and stuff? So first of all, like you said, they've locked down the Big 12 title. They are 15-2 in conference play, which is nuts. Because for people that don't know, the Big 12 in women's basketball is pretty freaking good too.
Yeah, they're not bad.
I wouldn't say they're not as dominant as the men's basketball Big 12. However, let's break down some of their. Now, first of all, they lost one of their best players early in the season.
Yes, they did.
So we have to qualify that.
Preseason. Before the season started.
Preseason. Yeah. So they did take some bad losses in the non-conference. That's really where pretty much all their losses come from. They had Princeton. It was Tennessee. I don't remember who this is. I'm kind of trying to look at the logo. It's tiny on my screen. Oh, it was just Tennessee. Okay. I thought it was like one of the other teams. But it's Tennessee, UNLV, UNC, who's, by the way, Tennessee right now is still number 19. UNC is 24. They took one from Southern University. Then they get into conference play. Okay. So, like, you look at that and you're like, okay, that doesn't look good. Like, you have some teams that you're like, man, that's
rough.
Kind of an ugly loss.
Yeah.
But again, kind of like they were, it did feel like when you know, like a little bit that I did get to watch them, like they were still trying to find that identity with the kind of a different lineup than they were going into the season expecting. They hit conference play, UCF, BYU, Cincinnati, you get wins. Okay. So, like, nobody's really ranked there. Not terrible teams, but again, you take an L to Kansas State. Now, Kansas State is the number 12 team in the country.
Yeah.
So, and they did get kind of
run out,
obliterated. Yeah. They turn around. They beat Texas Tech. They beat Houston, who Texas Tech has been ranked a little bit throughout the season. Then they beat the brakes off Texas Tech. Beat Houston. Went and beat Texas in a boat race.
Yeah.
That one was 91-87. Kansas. Kansas State again, who was number 2 at the time.
And they beat them,
And they beat them by 3. Oklahoma State, who's been a solid team this season. TCU beat the brakes off them. Iowa State. Baylor, who's number 21 at the time. Take a loss to West Virginia, but West Virginia was 24th at the time. Cincinnati. And then you beat Oklahoma State and you clinch your Big 12 title against who is now number 3, Texas. Which, by the way, Texas is 26-4 overall, 13-4 conference play. It's like you look at that resume and it's like for a basketball team, that is really good. They're going to close out the I think it's Friday, maybe Saturday. I don't know. We got leap year, so it's throwing my days off. But this weekend, they're going to finish off against Kansas.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, but they've clinched it. I mean, I don't know. You can't understate what Jenny's done.
No. No. And this team would be ranked really high if it wasn't for the non-conference. The losses in the non-conference have kept this team because they've beaten a top-ranked Kansas State. They've beaten Texas. Like, you really go down their resume, and it's crazy that where they're ranked at.
I would honestly argue if you take maybe like two of those non-conference losses, maybe even just one. They take Southern.
Yeah, the Southern one. Yeah.
Southern or Princeton, take one of those off the board, right? And you might have like a top 10 team, honestly, I think. I think it's the fact they lost to some bad teams early.
Mm-hmm.
That's really dragging them down. I think you're right.
Which I'm down for. Put us down the bracket and let us go sneak up on some people. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And like I said, they have just been like, it's really hard to say visually without seeing it visually. So if you took this schedule that I'm looking at with the record and you cut it in half, you look at the top half of it and you go, man, that's not a great basketball team. And then at the bottom half, you're like, dude, who the freak is this? That is a good team.
Yeah.
So again, good, I guess fortitude, a resiliency, maybe.
There it is.
I don't know what kind of coach word you want to use for it. but yeah, just an honestly great job. They're fun to watch, honestly.
They really are.
So I am interested to see what they're gonna do in the tournament, what they're gonna do with you know. Just honestly, in the coming years, if they can keep Jenny, OU might have a product.
Yeah,
people might be just filling up the Lloyd Noble like crazy just to see the women play. You know, so yeah.
Yeah, it's been pretty wild. I did want to talk about this. I haven't got to listen to the whole thing, but Brent Venables spoke with the media, aka Gabe Eichert and Teddy Lehman, on their podcast before spring stuff. You know, we're 2 weeks away from spring practices. And again, haven't gotten all the way through. There's been a lot of tweeting about it. So we'll probably end up talking about it more later. There were a couple things that have been brought to the attention of everybody through the podcast. One, Gentry Williams will miss the entire of spring ball because he had a labrum surgery, which, look, I'm all for. The dude was playing lights out before that labrum started giving him problems. Fix it, get it right, get it done, and then get him in shape over the summer, and we should be just fine. If he plays like he did beforehand, we're going to be just fine. The other really sad news was Jacob Lacey, it sounds like, will retire from football. I don't know if that was a for sure said. I haven't got that far in the podcast yet. But apparently his clotting issue has returned. And that just sucks in a major way. And now all of a sudden you really need a David Stone and Jackson. Like, you need these guys to step in and play, because he was a key piece on that defensive tackle front last year that played, I mean, 1,000% better than I thought he would coming into the year. The other bit of news that is out there, and I was one of the people being dark in the Discord yet again when I said, until the NCAA says this is done, I'm not saying it's done. And we had a bunch of people, it's going to happen. Justin Harrington, the NCAA has yet to rule on whether or not he can have another year of eligibility. We are, what, a month and a half from the draft?
Yep.
Like, this yet again is one of those things where the NCAA just continues to show that they are incompetent and don't know how to do their job. They take guys. I was trying to remember his name. The quarterback that went to like 17 schools in 3 years. Do you remember who I'm talking? He went to like Miami, Ohio State.
Tate
Martell.
Martell. There you go.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. We'll let that guy transfer 17 times without any penalty, but a guy that's had two injuries, had a coaching change, and got left in limbo and walked back on to a program, we're not going to give him an extra year based on injury.
Bowman?
No, Bowman? Harrington.
No. Bowman at whatever his name is, the quarterback at Oklahoma State. He's been in college for like 8 years.
Yeah. Yeah. But we don't know what we want to do. We don't know what we're going to do with Justin Harrington. Remember? And I was remembering this. Do you remember Mike? You remember Balogun? Do you remember that guy? Balogun. Huge linebacker that showed up out of nowhere for OU and played and was really good down the stretch. I think it was like one of the last years that BV was here.
And then all of a sudden,
like 2 weeks before the season started, they said, we don't have any records of him ever being paid. We don't have any records of a contract, but somebody did give us a copy of a roster that has his name listed on a semi-pro backyard football club in the middle of like Baltimore. Therefore, he's ineligible.
Yeah. Well, I'm about to go in on the NCAA, and this is going to roll well into, I guess, what we're going to use as a flow. The whole case by case basis is the reason the NCAA will die, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because you don't have any set standard. And it's not even like I can understand that there's certain circumstances that are unique, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
To some extent, I understand that. But like you said, when you have extremely, it's like the kid, I can't remember his name now, the kid at UNC, North Carolina, where he'd gone to a program. Transferred into a program. I think the coach like passed away. He had gone to play for that coach, and then he transferred to North Carolina. The death happened, I think, like late in spring or whatever. And he transferred, and they denied him. And I'm like, bro, the coach that he was. There's like Twitter posts about how close he was with the coach. Like this coach was like a father to him. Passes away, so he goes to another program because that's why he was there, right?
Right.
And you're going to deny him. And then everybody, like unanimously, it wasn't even like other schools, rival schools were like, dude, it's crappy that you're not letting him play. That's how bad it is. When your rivals are like, why are you not letting him play?
Yeah.
And it's things like that. It's like, this is why they're getting roasted on so many things is because.
Yeah.
They have no standard.
No.
They, like I said, you gave examples. I'm not against. In a way, it's like I'm not against is it Bowman? I think the whatever the quarterback's name is.
Alan Bowman. Yeah, Alan Bowman. Yeah.
I'm not against him getting eligibility. I'm not mad that he got eligibility. I'm mad that he got eligibility, and then Justin Harrington's getting left out. And it's not just Justin Harrington. We could probably pick, if we did research, we could probably pick 20 other people.
Right.
That are in the same boat.
Well, Pearson applied for another year because he had an injury year somewhere in there, and he got denied.
Yeah.
You know, like. And that's the thing, too. It's like, it feels like, and again, maybe it's not because we're not there, but it just feels like the Kansas and Oklahoma State situation. We have wiretaps of Bill Self talking about how much money it's going to cost to get a kid to come to Kansas, and they don't have a single nothing. No one, no suspensions, no fines, no nothing. OSU turns over everything that they found out about an assistant coach. It is proved in all the facts that Mike Boynton knew nothing about what was going on with the assistant coach, and he turns it all over the incident. You guys can't go to the tournament. It's like, what are we doing here? The team that actually is doing what you're asking is the one you punish, the one that won't do anything to help you at all, and yet we have like federal evidence that Bill Self was trying to pay a player, and you don't punish them at all. And then to make matters worse, 6 months after this investigation, you got Snoop Dogg with a money gun shooting money out of it at a preseason party in front of all the recruits, and they still don't get any infractions. It's like, come on, man. Like,
I mean, like, look, let's use an example, and I want to get your thought on this. I'm going to give you a hypothetical.
Oh boy.
Baker Mayfield. One of our favorites.
Yeah.
You think he gets eligibility if all the storylines around him aren't driving money into the NCAA?
Oh, yeah, probably not.
I mean, he had to fight tooth and nail to get it anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think he does. Like, if Justin Harrington had some crazy storyline that was nationally known,
yeah,
where people wanted to watch Justin Harrington, probably get an eligibility.
Yeah.
I mean, this is why. I mean, the NCAA, here's what you need to do. Again, set standards, right? I don't care. Apply the rules the same to everybody, right? For one. And two, the more you do stuff like this, it's one of those things where it's like those businesses that focus so much on the money of a transaction that they end up killing themselves. Like, they end up bankrupt because nobody wants to go there. It's what's going to happen to the NCAA. Nobody wants to deal with you. No school wants to deal with you. The schools have the power. Like, it's absurd. Like, I look at this and I'm like, dude, you're signing your own death warrant.
Yeah.
The schools have the power. The conferences have the power. If the SEC, if right now, if the SEC and the Big Ten, and just say the ACC, just to, for fun, to throw them in there, because they're gonna be want to be in on the train after what the NCAA and the college football playoff did to them.
Yeah.
They got together and said, nah, we're just going to make our own playoff.
Yeah.
Right now, and especially with the way legal cases are going, I don't know that anybody's going to stop them, and I don't know that I'm going to watch any other
football. They can't. I mean, all they have to do is go, we're not a part of the NCAA anymore. We're going to pull our sports. Now, the problem is that's all football related and not the other sports, which is another issue we're going to get to in a little bit, or at least we don't really have a flow, but I want to talk about later. Now, I do want to talk about OU football for just a minute, even though I think we've lost like half our listeners at this point with all of this ranting on other things. But let's talk about...
Oh, so I'm driving our listeners
no,
away?
Okay. I drove
no,
it.
No, I get it, bro. I get it. Okay.
If Harrington does not get his eligibility, let's go dark and say the NCAA says, nope, you got your chance, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Does that concern you at all about the cheetah position?
Yes and no. I mean, I'm great at giving non-answers.
Yeah, you would make a great politician.
Yes, in the sense of they definitely have better players at Cheetah. I think they have plenty of guys that can slot in there. Justin Harrington's a good leader and a good depth piece, but I don't know, like, in the scheme of on-field production, I don't know that you're going to see it in that capacity with him gone.
See, I disagree. So let's back up the truck. See, this is where recency bias takes over, right? And our hype machines take over.
Okay.
The hype machine around the All-American Desaun McCullough coming to OU and everyone believing that he was going to be this massive turnaround piece for the Sooner defense. Y'all remember these storylines? Everybody remember them, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then because Justin Harrington got hurt early in the season, and Desaun did play a lot down the stretch, and Kendall Dolby played a lot down the stretch, we've just changed the narrative to, oh, these guys are the reason the defense was so good. Does anybody remember that Justin Harrington was pulled from the game with an injury, went back in the game, was sent back out on the field, and ended the game with an interception? Like, literally, they were like, we have to have him on the field. At 50%, Justin Harrington is better than what we have over here. And he literally won us the game. And we were getting roasted when he came out of the game with injury. And then we thought, oh, the injury's not bad. Then we found out it was season ending. Everybody just forgets that. Here's the thing with Justin Harrington. Justin Harrington is as tall and as long and as athletic as Desaun McCullough is. Okay. Now, he's not as thick as Desaun McCullough, but he is as long and athletic as Desaun McCullough is.
I'd say as long. I might give athletic edge to McCullough, but
I'm not there. And here's the other thing. Desaun's never played a safety-like position. And so the weakness that he has, and we saw it all year, when he gets put in a passing situation and they target him, he's in a bad spot. His drops are not good. So many times people come in wide open because he doesn't know where to drop in the space to make the window small, so it ends up making a huge void in the defense. Kendall Dolby, on the other hand, when he comes in, the drops are really good and the windows are really small, but you can target the run game right into his gap. And if everybody else doesn't fit, you have an advantage there because he's undersized. Because again, the cheetah position is this hybrid safety, hybrid linebacker. You're looking for someone that can do both. Justine Harrington, if you watch the tapes, the only guy that did both well. He played safety, not played corner in JUCO. So he understands drops and he understands man-to-man coverage really well. He's learned to play in the box as a linebacker and actually did it last year really well. So it's not to say that Kendall Dolby can't fill in, and it's not to say that Desaun can't fill in. But look, you know what, like somebody, it was really funny. They go, man, that room's so deep. You got Kendall Dolby for the passing game. You got Desaun for the, and it's like, that's like saying the quarterback room is deep because we have a guy that can run really good and you got a guy that can throw really good.
Yep.
Like, it's not the same. Like, when you have a guy that can only run, you just, okay, we're going to stop the run game and we don't really care if he throws the ball. If you got that can throw really good that can't run, well, great. We don't have to put a spy in. We can rush three, yada, 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 and we're going to try to make the windows really small. It's the same thing with Dolby and Desaun. Now, can they get better? Sure. I feel a lot better about this team with a healthy Justin Harrington. Way better.
Well, and that's what I guess that's what I'm saying. I want Justin Harrington to come back. I think he's a positive if he comes back. I think that the other guys in that room will improve to the point that if he's gone, it's not going to crush us. But net, it's a positive if he's back. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's funny to me, like in the Discord today, it was they were all like, yeah, he may not even play. I'm like, what do y'all forget about him? Like, again, they took a 50% Justin Harrington and put him on the field because they felt like they needed him that, and he iced the game on one leg. Like, this is the starter. If he is healthy, he is the starter. So yes, I agree. Those guys will get better. Will it ruin the defense? No. But again, based on what we've seen so far, what that's going to leave you with is a run stopper, a pass stopper, and a true sophomore in Samuel Masigo to take over the position, as opposed to a veteran that can play run and pass. That's all sure. I'm saying. Like, yeah. I think this is a big deal for this defense. Again, we're talking, I think the ceiling in the SEC for like this defense is like top 20-ish, top 15-ish, right? If they play really, really good in the nation. And I think that with Harrington, that 15 range is there. I think without him, you're more in that top 20 range. You know, I think last year, what they ended up, well, like 27th overall, yeah, based on some different things, you know,
which I was the only one that had that much hope anyway. Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you on that, I guess, to some degree. Like I said, the thing is, I don't see Justin Harrington as that much of a linchpin for this defense. That, because, like, I don't know. I just think if you lose one guy like that, and it doesn't go well, then it's like, that's kind of like, what are we doing, right? Like I like, sure, Justin Harrington. I think he's a good, very good college athlete, right? But it's not like you just lost. I don't know.
Danny, it's not Stetson. Billy Bowman. It's not, yeah, Peyton Bowman, right? Like, and I agree with that. I'm just saying he's the only guy that we have seen thus far that actually can play this position the way that BV wants it to be played, which is, I can have someone out there that if they run the ball, they can set the edge. And I have someone out there that if they're passing, they can drop into coverage. And right now, we have guys that we're trying to insert based on what we think's coming, more so than they can do both.
Okay, let me answer your question this way then, and we can move on. I do think it's a bad loss for the defense. And I would agree with you. I don't think the impact's as big, but I think the impact is even more so, again, on his leadership and some of the intangibles that he brings to the room, mm-hmm, to push guys further along, especially long-term even.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I do think I think it's a huge loss. But, again,
yeah, on the leadership front, I agree with that. I think the leadership front is the biggest loss, right? Like, even more so than on the field. But I do think we may not overall feel it. I just think, again, I think the ceiling goes way up for this team with him on there. And I think it goes down a little bit with him gone. So that's all that. Staying with NCAA for a minute, the other thing that happened this week, the courts of the U.S. government have decided that the NCAA has suspended their ruling that colleges can't talk to athletes about NIL now. They can talk to third parties.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to think about that. I've heard different things. I was actually didn't even know this was going to be on the flow that we don't have. But I read a big article about it, and it's like, yes, that, like, as it sits now, it is where it's at. There's still a whole lot of courses that it has to go to get to where it's going to be fully like that.
Right.
Like, there's obviously appeals and whatever. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. But there's a lot of things that have to go to get to that. So it's still, I don't know. I think it's still a coin flip. But yeah. I don't like it, honestly. So
I mean, you know, again, I heard somebody say this on the radio the other day, and I agree with it to some degree. Obviously I'm going to stay a fan, but I love that the athletes are getting a chance to make money off their name, image, and likeness. I've said that from the beginning. They should have always been making money off their jerseys. They should have always been making money off their autographs, that kind of stuff. At the same time, the concept of going to a school and that being your school and that being your place, like OU is for a Baker Mayfield, like OU is for all those legends, for Boz, for, you know, Bradford, you know, I'm a Sooner, you know, even like as much as I don't like Miami, like those guys that are like, we were a part of the U, you know, like is gone. It is leaving the game like crazy because it's all about money and contracts and all this stuff now. And I hate that. And somebody on the radio even said the other day, one of the things that I'm turning my attention more towards softball than I am any other sport because those girls play completely for their love of that game. Because even if they're great and they make a professional team, like the average salary for like a softball player is like $30,000+ a year.
Yeah, they're making like barely minimum wage.
They're not making like, so there's, it's literally, I'm going somewhere to try to be the best I can be at this level. And this is the greatest exposure I'm going to get is playing college softball. And they just play with a passion for that game. And that I hate is leaving. And I hate, again, I talked about this a few weeks ago, and I'll let you rebuttal, but I hate that we're on the verge of NCAA football players becoming employees of the university. And I'm telling you right now, the day that happens, I think at OU, honestly, the only women's sport that will survive is softball. And I think everything else will go away because, honestly, the only reason they have the other sports is because of Title IX and trying to keep up with what they spend on men's basketball and men's football. And when you remove that and their employees, Title IX no longer is a part of that. They're not going to spend the money on it anymore.
I mean, I don't disagree with that. I mean, I think again, it's a scary, let me put it this way. The way I look at it is probably a little less, negative about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm scared of the path that it's leading towards. Right. But again, I think there's a long path to get there, to get to that point. But I think I would probably disagree. I think OU is smart. Even if that were to happen, I do think sports like men's and women's gymnastics would still exist because they're nearly a feeder program to the U.S. Olympic team at this point. And I think it's a good brand thing, right? Softball would exist, you know, and I think even maybe to some extent, I mean, it's one of those things, if it's 3 years down the road and women's basketball is humming because you got Jenny just lighting it up and you keep her on staff, then maybe they keep them around. But yeah, it's again, it's, we're having discussions, you know, things like canoeing or tennis or whatever, they're not going to, because nobody pays to watch any of those sports, even men or women's, right?
But the other side of that is like, let's be honest. Women's basketball does not make money to pay the bills. The football team pays it. They are a non-revenue sport. Softball is a non-revenue sport. Those are only existing because of what the football program brings in, period. And so, again, you move all that over, and now you have to add salaries into it. You've got to add, if they become employees, I don't know how insurance works and all the different things that are going to start coming with it. And I'm not saying that those guys don't deserve some of those things, but when a school looks at it and says, look, now legally, we don't have to keep fitting the bill for these sports that make us no money.
Well, it's a weird thing too, because it's like, it almost feels like a technicality, right? It's like when you look at it and you look at what the players do now, right? Like when you look at every, like when you take a look at their lives now, it's like they're kind of employees of the university. They can't say they're employees of the university, but
they're kind of employees, right?
So it's calling them an employee, you're like, well, that's just a technical thing. But again, it's the legal ramifications and Pandora's box that opens to see what that's going to be. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it is a precarious path to go down for college sports. So yeah, I don't know. It's really been weird. And it's sad. I am fearful for college football. Somebody asked me, you know, like I've made a lot of friends that are not college people. Like, they're like, why don't you just watch the NFL? And I'm like, dude, look, I've been to NFL games. NFL games are great. Right. Yeah. And you go and you get a beer or you whatever, and you sit in the stands, you watch a game, you might cheer a little bit, and then you go home.
Yeah.
You know, even if you're really like outside of a few games a year, most of it, that's kind of what it is.
Yep.
Right. You go to a college game, I was like, it's the closest thing to European soccer we have here.
Yes.
Like, people are jumping around. People are yelling the entire time. There's tradition. The comparison to European football, it's like, if you want to tell somebody that doesn't understand college football or college athletics, even basketball for a lot of programs, but, you know, predominantly football, European soccer. Watch one of those games and then go watch a college game, and you're like, man, there's actually a lot of similarities. They sing the same songs, they play fight songs,
yeah,
everything. So anyway, it's sad to see that, because it's built, like you said, upon tradition, about pride, that you play for a university, right? Like,
it was an extension of high school sports, right? Like, another, like when you go to a high school and you, like, we all go to this school. Let's pull enough guys together to put a basketball team together. Let's pull enough guys together to put a football team together, and let's play the town over.
Okay, so
college was the same. I'm going to this college. We're gonna pull it. Now, granted, there's a recruiting and all that stuff, but it's, we're a part of this town and this university, and let's go play those guys over there and see. And then when it goes professional, you got guys bouncing in free agency. There's no passion behind, like, it's us versus you, and that just goes with all that pageantry goes away. You're a legend that's a part of our, you know, our story. Well, it's just not the same anymore.
Well, it's been eroded for years, right?
Yeah,
that whole as student athlete thing. However, it's like, when I was at OU, I brushed into, like, they were students. They were, they went to classes. They were on campus. You saw them. They were normal people.
Yeah.
Right. Like, they weren't just rolling in on a bus, or they didn't pull up in their Lambo and walk into the football stadium, and that's all you ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there was enough of, like, a mask there to be like, it's still, like you said, student athletes. And the, like you said, the fight for tradition or the fight for your school, being proud to be an Oklahoma Sooner or whatever. And it's like, dude, really, when you look at it, we probably haven't seen that since, at best, the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, I'd say, like, that's probably the time that started to erode a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just down now. It's like, it's literally like, if we don't do something, then it's very much probably going to die, because it's down to the mighty dollar. If you've already seen it, this isn't me bringing up dirt on Caden Green, but it's like, you wouldn't have seen that happen in 2005, for instance.
Right.
You know, he wouldn't have said, well, you know, I'm tired of OU, I'm going to go to Missouri. That, there's no circumstance that would have happened.
Right.
And not only that, happened commonly. Like, yeah. I'm sure somebody's going to, somebody could dig up an incident that happened in. But it's there wasn't 100 people a year doing that. So, yeah, I do agree. Well, I mean, it's.
What is it? Like, there's still like 1,700 transfers sitting in a portal that have no landing spot.
What? And let's talk about that too, because like, this is what's funny to me, and this is where like, this gives you the scale of what college athletics is. So EA Sports has announced that they're releasing the new game, right? Mm-hmm. And I saw this. This was kind of cracked me up. I was on Twitter one day, and this had kind of been the rumor for several months now, that there was even like a court case about it, that each athlete was going to get some total of like a few hundred dollars, right? And people were like, only a few hundred dollars, like that's a scam. And I'm like, they have to pay.
Like
66,000 or something, some absurd number of athletes. I don't know what the exact number is. We're just okay. But some untold number of thousands of student athletes, they have to pay every single one that agrees to be in the game. If they agree to have their name, image, and likeness in the game, they get the $600.
Right.
Now, there is, they've already said that there is exceptions where, like, you know, if Quinn Ewers or whoever, Jackson Arnold agrees to be a cover athlete or whatever, some sort of special thing, they get extra money. But for all intents and purposes, they get $600 and a free copy of the game.
Right.
It's like, that's the scale that we're dealing with. 66,000 student athletes or whatever it is. So however many thousands, I think it's 66,000. And it's just chaos right now. Like you said, you have guys, you have, like you said, when you have 1,700 or whatever, that's still a pretty big fraction of athletes that are just sitting in a portal right now waiting for somebody to write them a check.
Yeah.
So,
and not anyway, getting, and by the way, like, and again, everybody, it cracks me up, right? Like, we've got all these things going on to pay people's college debt off, and you got 1,700 guys that had an opportunity to get a degree, or at least get close to getting a degree in something, and now they're just sitting in no man's land.
Well, let me give you why college athletics is a problem using EA Sports college football.
Okay.
The coaches are not in the game. They don't have the budget to pay the coaches.
Yeah.
You have what, 128 programs now in college football? I think there's going to be like 130 or something soon.
And that's just Division One. Yeah. Remember, the game does Division Two and Division Three as well.
Well, there's Division II schools that have said they're going to be in. They haven't announced that fully yet. There's been some Division II. They actually haven't announced anything. Some Division II schools have said they're in the game. But EA Sports, I don't think, is officially saying anything. Regardless, just Division I. You have 128 coaches they can't afford to pay.
Yeah.
And they're only giving the students $600. So if you're one of those people
put it on another level, let's be clear. EA Sports never sold as many copies as Madden does. Madden is still the number one in the football gaming world, right, and all that stuff. They only play NFL players where there are 32 rosters of 53 players, $1,200.
Yeah.
They pay them $1,200 to $1,600 to be in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You do the math. 1,500 athletes get $1,600. Now you're paying 128 teams that are made up of 80 to 100 players $600 a piece. Not making sense.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. If we keep going down this path, not just to use, I mean, the point is there's not enough money. There's not enough economy in college sports.
No.
That a school like Rice is going to keep a football program even.
Right.
Right. You know, if you're a fan of a smaller school and somehow you stumbled on our podcast, you should be worried.
Yes.
And I'm not even talking about tiny programs. Like, to be honest, like, you know, OSU fans, I'll pick on you. Tulsa. You may not have a program.
Mm-mm.
It may end up be costing too much to fund that program. If it comes down to, we got to pay college athletes, you know, we got to get a star running back. and we got to pay him $1 million. OSU might be like, no, we're not going to do that.
And here's the other side of that. They have convinced everybody that that's the problem. They've convinced everybody that there's enough money to pay everybody. Mm-hmm. What they have convinced everybody is that it's going to be a socialist system, that everybody's going to make their piece of the pie, and they deserve their piece of the pie, and it's not. That's why the NFL, as big as it is a global industry. Global. NCAA is not a global industry. It's not. The NFL is. It has 32 teams, and they only let 50-something men be on each of those teams because that's what allows them to make money. And now you're trying to make it all about money, and you've convinced these kids that go to Rice and go to Tulsa, oh, there's plenty of money in there for you. Y'all need to fight this fight. Y'all need to be this. Y'all need to be that. And the reality is it's going to be Georgia. It's going to be Alabama. It's going to be Ohio State. It's going to be Michigan. If it does turn into some kind of like farm system, there's going to be about 30 of them. There's going to be about 30 teams of farm system. And you know what else you're going to do? You're going to run thousands of young men out. And I've said this from the beginning. Everybody goes, it's stupid. A scholarship is nothing. You go to every single, let's just do the Power Five. The teams you think don't matter and suck. How many of those men are coming out of terrible homes, terrible neighborhoods, and are being given the opportunity to connect with businessmen, that are being given the opportunity to build relationships with people who are going to create businesses later on, that may not ever make it to the NFL, but have an opportunity to get enough education to get down the line and better themselves later on, and it's all going to go away, all because everybody believed that they all could make millions of dollars and it was sustainable, and it's not. It's not.
I mean, it's a bubble, right? And the problem is that the problem with it is it's so big that if it pops, if it keeps going on this road and it pops, by the time it happens, those programs are dead.
Yeah.
Right? I don't mean to pick on OSU. I'm not picking on OSU because I think they're a terrible program. I'm just saying they're not the same athletic department size as a Georgia or an Alabama.
At that point, it becomes about brands.
Right.
Like, let's just be honest, it becomes about brands. And like, lucky for us, we're fans of a huge brand.
Right.
But OSU's not one of the Tulsa's a great example. Tulsa ain't one of those brands. Like, yeah. Who cares? Like, Texas Tech, for that matter, they ain't one of those brands. They're like, nobody's going to care.
Patrick Mahomes, the school that had Patrick Mahomes is not going to survive if that happens.
Right. 100%.
And here's the thing. I agree with you. And I don't, you know, again, I think there's a big road to get there. And I just think that as fans of college football, whether you're a fan of Georgia or Alabama or Oklahoma or Oklahoma State, this is, again, one of those times where we all have to understand Oklahoma would probably survive. Georgia's probably going to survive. But is it going to be worth them to survive what's left?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Again, as thin as that mask may be that I was talking about earlier about it being student athletes, that's still enough that I prefer college football vastly more than I prefer the NFL. You know, and again, and it's the thing of the sad part is we're finally getting to that stage where college football is actually producing like a big enough show that it is drawing more viewers. It is drawing more people in. Right. Like we were talking about this the other day too, about like the World Cup, right? The World Cup as a whole thing. Yes, it's going to draw more viewers. It's going to be a bigger show than anything else, right?
Right.
However, when you take a game, even the championship game of the – or the final game of the World Cup, pretty close probably, maybe on par, but I'd still – it's like as a single game event, the Super Bowl dominates.
And here's the deal. If the World Cup happened every year, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
The fact that That's it only happens every 4 years is what makes it compete.
People, that's what I'm saying. How many people do you talk to that watch? The people that watch the World Cup are wanting to watch the soccer. That's what it is. People turn on the Super Bowl just to say, the game was on, whatever, but I like to watch the commercials.
Yeah.
There's so much money poured into it. I mean, for real.
Right. Right.
And college football, I wouldn't say is anywhere near that level, but they're finally starting to produce with like the college football playoff and some of those other things that they're incorporating, the bigger playoff that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's gaining that sort of traction where people are wanting to tune in and watch. So yeah, it's a sad thing. I hope that we don't go down that path. I'm sure there's gonna be a lot of developments. But yeah, I mean, I do agree with you. It's a very scary road to look at.
Yeah. And again, it's just all across the board. And again, I probably am biased because I went to an NAIA school, you know, and got a scholarship and all the things, but like, all that stuff's going to start disappearing. Like, yeah. It's going to all disappear. And again, like, I had teammates that were from awful situations, and track and field is what got them out. It's what pulled them from where they were. And like, guys that are engineers now that would have never, never without track and field had the opportunity to do that. Nobody's going to fund track and field anymore. Like, you know, because they're going to be trying to pour all their money into the sport that really generates. And that's the only two that truly generate are some basketball schools and football. That's it. And that's the other thing. Like, we've made this whole argument for two sports and really one. This is really driven by football. Like, we were talking about this the other day. Like, even like the move to the SEC has nothing to do with basketball, baseball. So they don't care. It's football. Yeah. It's all about football. And that's it.
Nobody talks about other sports when they talk about the move to SEC.
Matter of fact, like nobody, like everybody, SEC wrestling's going to continue on. And guess what? They're in the Big 12 because SEC doesn't even have wrestling. Like, so it's all about football. And so the more and more and more that y'all keep going down this court ruling and unions and all the stuff, all these other sports are going to disappear because the money's got to come from somewhere and they're going to feed what makes the money. And it ain't gymnastics and it ain't golf and it ain't tennis and it ain't softball. As much as softball's big in Oklahoma, it's not anywhere else.
Well, and again, it's that thing of, I think as looking outside as an Oklahoma fan, it's like our education system needs to fund more. You know, it just needs more funding, to plain and simple.
Yeah.
And sports. And, you know, we were talking about, because I actually even read an article about this not long ago. It was like maybe a couple weeks ago. And it actually referenced an article. I think it was from like 2007, maybe 2006, somewhere. It's like the early 2000s. And at that time, it was like only, I think it was like the top 12 football programs in America were profitable.
Right.
And Oklahoma was one of them at that time.
Yep. Yep.
Now it's like that number is like 60 something.
I don't think it's that high.
But no, this was, here's the thing though. It may not have been 60, but it was a much higher number, right? The number's much higher because the sport's growing. But the problem is now, like, if you have to start taking, if the schools are going to say, well, now we're taking, you cut into the profit, so to speak, that they can fund other things, like you said, and not, it's going to be zero.
Yeah.
And now he's Googling, but
I am.
I'd have to see if I can find the article and forward it to you. But regardless of that, it's the thing of we have to, figure out a way. Like I said, there has to be guardrails. I think the coaches are on board with that. NIL has become this thing where everybody was on board, and then now it's become it's literally Pandora's box that we opened.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody disagreed, I don't think, that, we probably should let players make money off NIL. But now we're here where we're like, maybe all of our sports are going to die. So I don't know. We'll see.
Wow. I've got it right here, I think. Let me see what year this was. This is in 2022. So just 2 years ago.
Beginning of NIL.
I found 18 profitable and 211 money losing NCAA Division I public athletic programs.
Oh, that's programs. Yeah, this was exclusively football.
Yeah, but even like football. But that's what I'm saying. But that's the problem. Like, listen to that. 18 programs were profitable. So guess what happens when you keep adding more and more and more and more and more expenses into the football side, that number starts to go down and down and down and down and down. And so again, and when they become employees, what do? Just like our businesses would do. Hey guys, your area is not making money. We got to do cutbacks. We got to do cutbacks. We got to do cutbacks. And see, that's the other thing too, like, that's sad. And we need to get off this topic and move on. But college sports were started to help fund kids to get education.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they were there for. Let's get some guys together and let's play football. We'll give them a scholarship. But them playing will allow other people to have the opportunity to get an education as well.
Right.
It'll give us an opportunity to build more buildings. It'll give us an opportunity to hire more professors. That was the whole point. And it's gone. It's just enveloping in on itself. And that's again sad too. Like, it was supposed to be something that gave back and built community and camaraderie and allowed more people the opportunity to go to school. It's all on our way out the door.
Let me say this, then we'll move on. You look at our high school football program. We brought money into the school, and a lot of programs that our school had, like, it was funny to me. Like, you look at mm-hmm. the size of our school.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have had a lot of the programs we had, at least when I was there.
Yeah.
You know, we had drama, we had debate, we had all these programs that's like Oklahoma City schools had. But you looked at other schools, like, we would show up to meets and stuff for something, and it's like, why are you guys here? Like, you're a podunk school. You know right. what I mean? But the football team generated enough money that we were able to fund that you could mm-hmm. go do all these things. We had multiple languages.
Yep.
We were funded like a big city school because of the football program.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So anyways, but moving on, speaking of money, Baker Mayfield hasn't got any yet.
Yeah. I'm shocked a little bit.
I'm not.
Okay.
So you did see that they're increasing the salary cap, did you not?
No, I did not see that, actually.
30 million or something. So all the franchises, there was some deal, and this is something that I'm probably going to say wrong number. During COVID, all the franchises put however much money into a collection
right.
to basically sustain so they could keep playing players or whatever right. it was. I don't know what all they did. I think the NFL gave some back. It was this whole money thing. Anyways, all of that's been paid back. All that's been returned.
Okay.
Like, everything's back to net zero. And the agreement the NFL had was, if that happened, then they would increase the salary cap. So it's increased by, I think it was 30 million, which changes the landscape a lot.
Yeah, it does.
Especially in Tampa Bay. Now, look, I know they've openly said, Baker's openly said, I want to be here.
Yeah, right? They've already
they both want to work together. The problem is when you look at Tampa Bay, they've got to re-sign Mike Evans, right?
They've already cut
which
a guy.
Which is an interesting prospect, because I think Mike Evans, it seems, I'm not going to say that this is the fact, that he wants to come back because of Baker, because he has a quarterback that can throw to him.
Mm-hmm.
When Brady left, he didn't know.
Right.
Right. And now it's like, so you have to kind of sign both those guys. It's like, to me, it almost feels like they're sort of a package deal, but they've also got, I think, like two or three defensive guys. Like, I mean,
they've
got
a ton of defensive guys. Like I said, Shaq Barrett just got cut by the Bucks.
Yeah.
He got let go. So, I mean, that tells you a little bit. The offensive line's got, I mean, as great of a run as they went on this last year, that's the other, I think they're still trying to decide if they're just in full rebuild mode. Like, let's just get all the big numbers off. Let Mike Evans go somewhere else and finish out his career. And, you know.
Well, the good news for Baker, and I hate to say this because I want him to be at Tampa, and this isn't even because I live in Florida now. I want him to be in Tampa because he hasn't been in a franchise. I can't almost say the same program. We talked about college so long.
Yeah.
I don't want him to be at I want him to be at a franchise for more than a year or two, because I think that's where we'll take for him to really flourish and be the best Baker that we're going to see in the pros. But I guess the good news is like there's been some rumblings a little bit at the Broncos. There's been rumblings at even the Patriots. There's been a number of franchises have expressed
Minnesota,
a little bit of interest in Baker. I think this year really did give him a little bit of a resume that, again, as much as I love you, Baker, this is not a dig. He's not a top tier quarterback in the sense of like he's not a Patrick Mahomes. He's not a Josh Allen.
Right.
Or any of those guys.
Yeah.
But he's a guy that's good enough to get you into the playoffs and get you wins.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you put him in the right team, he can get you a Super Bowl. I mean, he's that good.
Right. But that's part of the problem, right? And I think even for Tampa Bay is he is really good when everything around him is really good. And we are at a position right now where all that money we spent to win one with Brady is coming to task. And we may have to tear this thing down. And if we tear it down, what now? Because we're going to put a big price tag on him and we can't really build this team back with him taking this massive contract, you know? And I feel like other teams are kind of in the same position. If you're on the cusp, like a New England, if we pay him a huge contract, what else can we put around him? Because we got holes we got to fill to make this team good. What can we get if we give him a huge contract? What can we do, right? New coach, new this, new that. So he may not even want to go there.
It's
an interesting scenario.
Yeah, this is never going to happen. Because I was talking to a friend and they asked me, like, what if you could just literally pick him like Madden franchise mode, put him on any team, like just, you know, delete a QB or move a QB and put him in there. I was like, dude, I honestly would say the 49ers, it's never going to happen. But him on the 49ers, I think, is like unstoppable.
That'd be pretty dirty. The other team I thought of was the Rams. If he slides in with Puka, Nacua, friggin' Cooper Kupp, they've got a good little young running back there, right? I mean, they were a team that wasn't supposed to be any good this year. Now, I know Aaron Donald might retire, but the offense had a good line last year, a good run game, and you got two stud wide receivers that got years left on the tires. Not to mention, it seemed as though when he was in McVay's system for that, what, month that he was in L.A., that seemed to be a system that went really, really well for him. You know, I just hate that he has to get stuck living in L.A. with the taxes and the cost of living and, you know what I mean? Like, it's literally like he could make $10 million more a year there and really be making the exact same amount of money that he's making anywhere else with a kid on the way. So
Tampa's not an expensive place to live, but
right. That's probably mine. If they could hold everything together in Tampa, then yeah, I obviously they like him. He likes it there. That'd probably be my second choice, but I think LA, I just think Stafford, as well as he played last year, he can't have a lot of years left. You know, and the only other team that I think is an up and comer that's definitely got the talent around, but again, you got to hope that the veteran guy retires, is New York, the Jets.
Right.
Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall. I mean, you go down the list of that team too. Now, their offensive line was not great. But again, if you could get Aaron Rodgers' numbers off the books and put him there, I think they do. If they could just put a few offensive linemen in that room, they're cooking. And that defense, dude, he'll be in every game if he just doesn't turn the ball over.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree. That's what I'm saying. I say the 49ers is not a realistic landing spot. Let me clarify.
They're rolling with Brock.
Yeah, but again, I'm just saying there's plenty of teams, like even the Denver and – the Patriots is probably less so, but it's like Denver's kind of got like the potential. I don't think it's a shoe-in that they're going to be a great team. If they make some right moves and they draft well, it's like they could be a really, really good team. They've got some pieces now that they need to build around.
Yeah.
And Baker could be a big part of that. So it'll be interesting to see. I kind of hope he stays in Tampa. But yeah, with the whole salary cap increase and with where they are, Tampa's got a lot of big contracts they're going to have to sign. And I don't know. I don't follow the NFL closely enough, honestly, to say what their cap numbers are, but I know you're not gonna be able to pay everybody, so that's how the NFL works. So anyway, but yeah, I mean, gonna be an interesting offseason with the 30 mil. It's like, that's what I told me. I was like, this might actually be a very, very spicy draft, and offseason and free agency is gonna be crazy.
Yeah.
So
no doubt about
what's gonna happen.
That is crazy. And then just really quick on the Thunder, undefeated since the All-Star break.
Yep.
Undefeated. And pretty much been
what was that stat I saw the other day?
First player to have 100 three-pointers and 100 blocks in a season or something like that. That one?
It was more than that, I think. Yeah, but yeah, it was a crazy, like, Chet's been just lighting it up this season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, their third overall record in the NBA.
Yes. Tied for first in the West.
Yeah. And it's funny, like, when you look at the deal, I mean, like, when you look at the standings and you look at where other teams were to begin the season, we thought the Thunder were going to be like the Sixers are right now. Yeah. Start off really hot and then kind of sort of fall off a little bit.
Yeah.
And they're hanging in there.
Yeah.
They're still trucking. I would not have guessed that. I wouldn't have even guessed that. As much as I said 50 wins, I wouldn't have said the Sixers are going to start falling off and be on the bubble to be a play-in tournament team. I think they're the sixth or seventh seed. I don't remember right now in the East, and the Thunder is still going to be number two in the West. That wouldn't have been on my card. So yeah, but
yeah, and I mean, they're right there. Our question at the beginning of the year, again, that you are going to end up being right, was 50 wins.
Mm-hmm.
And even you were like, yeah, I think they're going to get 50. But you were like 51, 52, you know, 50. Like, bro, like, they're about to blow that out of the water if they keep this up.
Yeah.
And they're in a position to do it because, again, this is the easiest part of their schedule is post-All-Star break. So yeah, they're like so close, and I think they've already eclipsed the over under win total in Vegas preseason.
Yeah.
I think that they've already, like, so if you made that bet, you're already there.
You're cashing in.
And so they're what, I mean, with trying to do the math here, 58. So there's 24 games left in the season. They've only got to get 9 to get to 50.
Yep.
They got to go 9-15 to finish the year to get to 50 wins.
Yep.
So, I mean, 500, finish 500, 12-12, 53 wins.
Well, and they're, like I said, they're the one of the most fun teams to watch in the NBA.
Yeah.
And like I said, they just, they're not that team. Again, I guess I think what everybody expected was a little bit of, like, they'd be scrappy and they would upset some big teams, some tough teams.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, really, it's kind of the opposite. It's like every once in a while they'll drop one to freaking Detroit,
yeah,
but they go play their tough games. And a lot of times they go blow the crap out of whoever, you know, is one
well,
of the top
again,
teams.
Like every team.
Yeah, but I'm just saying they're, regardless of that, I understand it's basketball and it's a little different than football, right? But at the same time, you're looking at it as a scale of what they've done against their tough schedule. Oh, there's enough games in there where you're looking at it and you're going, this team is good. Like, this isn't, oh, well, they beat up a bunch of bad teams and they lost all the good teams. This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They're beating the good teams. They're beating the great teams. So, yeah. And not only that, like I said, to hear guys like LeBron and, you know, whoever, we've heard all the superstars among the NBA talk about how Oklahoma City is a problem.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways, they've
done great, man. It's unreal. I mean, I never thought on draft night that J-Dub would be what he is.
Yep.
Had a lot of questions about Chet. They've all been answered in year one of him playing. Cason Wallace has been everything and more that you thought he could be for this team. Shea, man, we traded for Shea. There was nothing in my mind that said we just traded for one of the top five players in the NBA.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what he is.
I got to find the stat because we were talking about this week. And I remember I read it and I was like, oh my God. yeah. The number of games of less than 40% field goal percentage among point guards or 24 plus points per game guards. Dame pretty good, right? You say Dame's pretty good.
Yeah.
24. Trey, pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah. 20, 23. Steph, Maxey, all those guys, right? 20s. SGA?
4.
3.
Oh, it's 3.
3. So to put that in perspective, and the next closest to him on this list is Luka at 9. Just, it's like, you look at this and it's like, dude, somebody's literally playing.
And then you throw the other side of the court into the equation. Luka ain't in nothing near the top defensively. He ain't near the top in blocks and steals and in opponent field goal percentage, whatever. Shea's leading the NBA in steals. Like, he's up there in blocks. Like,
Put it this way. Like, let me go back to, again, to my, you have enough evidence across a span to say something, to make a factual statement. We always say, if Oklahoma City can develop, can we just go ahead and say Oklahoma City is going to develop?
Yeah.
Russ, KD even, Harden from when he was here, Serge, Steven Adams,
Aaron Wiggins. Obviously,
yeah. I mean,
how about we talk about the little guys that they have developed into guys that just produce?
Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, he was only here for, I think, 2 years, but still, you know what I'm saying? They're able to go find those guys and put them in success. So anyways, I'm stoked. I'm ready for the playoffs already. So
yeah, and again, I think that's the only thing left that we have to question about this team is we have seen this before, and we keep saying it, and we're going to until the playoffs get here. There have been a lot of teams through the years that are great in the regular season and struggle in the playoffs. Yep. And it's different basketball. And the great, genuinely great teams find a way to be good in the playoffs, right? And then the okay teams find out how to be great in the regular season and not good in the playoffs. Let's see what they do.
Even when you look back at, like, the Russ, like KD, like whenever they were making those runs, I would say that they were good enough in the regular season. Obviously, they were good.
Right.
But then they just were crazy in the playoffs when you look at what they did against the teams that they did against. So, but yeah, no, I'm excited. We'll see what happens. So, can I talk before we wrap up? Can I talk a little F1?
Sure. I know nothing about it, but you're welcome to talk about it.
So, Driver Survives out the new season. And I actually thought it was pretty good. They actually did, like, the last couple of seasons have kind of been crap. And this one's not. It's still, like, it feels, and I guess it needs to be, it feels like a little bit of, like, a beginner's course to F1, right?
Yeah.
They skip over a lot of the storylines, and some of the stuff they say is, like, if you've watched any really motorsport, then you're like, that is, yeah, okay. You know, like, everybody knows that. The funny part is, the big storylines right now are, we're going, the season starts this Sunday, first race in Bahrain. The big storylines, which is kind of funny, they made a big deal about it in Drive to Survive. Lewis Hamilton had re-signed a contract with Mercedes for 2 more years last season. So he's supposed to be there for this coming season and next season. He exercised an exit clause and is leaving to go to Ferrari, which is a huge move. The next year of the grid is going to be wild. But anyways, it was funny because in the show, they make a big deal about him re-signing with Mercedes because all that, obviously they had finished the show and were getting ready to release it when all this happened. So they couldn't go back and be like, oh crap, you know? So I thought that was kind of funny. But yeah, it's about to start. Christian Horner was under investigation. Who's the technical principal. I think I don't know what his title is all, but basically the head of Red Bull Racing. But they said today that he's not, like, the allegations are, they dismissed the allegations or whatever. So yeah, the season's about to start. It's going to be wild. It's probably going to be Red Bull winning everything, but I freaking love the sport. I love the sport. Like I said, if you're somebody that's like, why would I care to watch F1? Drive to Survive is a great way to go get into. You'll get a base for the storylines. The personalities are great. I would say the personalities in the sport are bigger than they've ever been, at least in a long time. And it's just fun to watch. It's like, just turn it on Sunday and just watch. And it's like, it's the one sport where it's like, I even tell somebody, it's like, it's the one sport where it almost feels like a soap opera. Like, they've done a good job of building up the personalities of the drivers.
Right. Like
giving me a what weird
no,
look.
No. Sorry. I got
no. He just suddenly started glaring at me, and I was like, yeah.
Sorry.
He apparently doesn't like any of the F1 drivers. They've done like a good job making it like a soap opera where like you spend a lot of the time watching all the stuff going on up the week to the race and all the stuff around it. And
right.
Even like the Twitter feuds between whatever and all that. And all these rivalries. And then like you watch the race and like sometimes the race is boring, but you're like, man, I still enjoyed the whole week building up to this, you know? So anyway, but I'm excited F1 starting. So, yeah. And then softball's rolling. I mean, we've got like, it's a good time of year right now.
Yeah.
So spring is about to be upon us. So, you know, this is like, I think everybody, this is your reminder for, especially for OU football fans. I know you don't care, a lot of you don't care about F1. Enjoy whatever sport you can now.
Yeah.
Because come like that, there's like that 2 month period in the summer where there ain't nothing.
Yep.
There ain't nothing. So, enjoy this while you can, because it's gonna have to tide you over until September rolls around.
Facts on that for sure. So, well, again, that's us. Hope you've enjoyed it. Please like, subscribe, leave comments, all the fun stuff. Again, not insiders or reporters or anything else, just guys that love sports that are connected to Oklahoma, athletes that are connected to Oklahoma, and trying to, you know, just give our own spin on it, our own take on it. Again, hoping to bring you some interviews from some big personalities soon enough. And so we'll keep working on that. But again, we're having a great time. We hope you are too. I'm Daryl. That's Jared. And we will talk to you guys later.
Bye, Baker.
Cha-ching, it's under money ball.
You can unhitch the wagon. Put the ponies in the ball.